Welcome to the Animal Voices radio show here on 102.7 FM Co-op Radio CFRO in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, December 16th, 2011. I am your host, Allison Cole, and I am joined here by a whole crowd of animal-loving people today. Welcome to our co-host, Tara Gardner, our guest co-host, Denise Swanson, plus two more guests who are sitting in today on the show, Alyssa Ray and Carissa Thorpe. Hello, everyone. Can you say hello and put their mics on, please?
Hi.
Awesome.
Hey.
Hello. And happy belated birthday to Tara.
Thank you so much.
And also our control room tech trainee, Morgan Ahoff, is here as well. And happy holidays, everyone. Animal Voices is Vancouver's and Western Canada's only animal advocacy and vegan radio program, bringing you all the animal and vegan-related news, events, interviews, lifestyle, and commentary you need to keep you up to date on what's happening both locally and internationally. We at Animal Voices encourage the movement toward a world in which animals are treated with compassion and mercy and are afforded the same rights that humans take for granted. This program can be heard every Friday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and is also streamed live at coopradio.org and available as podcasts on iTunes and animalvoices.org after airing. It's the winter holidays now, where we are immersed in the traditions of gift giving this month. And for our first segment today, Denise, Tara, and I will be giving you our top 9 recommendations for gift giving to animal charities for the holidays. We've each chosen our top 3 recommendations and have some deserving suggestions to offer on making cash donations to help the animals this year. And for our feature interview today, we finally have our anticipated interview with Twyla Francois, who is the Regional Director of the Canadian Horse Defence Coalition. She will be speaking to us today about horse slaughter in Canada, including the recently introduced Bill C-322, which proposes a ban to the slaughter of horses in Canada, and the undercover footage recently made public from a horse slaughterhouse in Quebec. That interview is coming up in about 28 minutes, so please stay tuned for that. Last week, we featured vegan cookbook author Nava Atlas on the show to speak to us about cooking vegan for the holidays, and specifically her new book on just that subject entitled Vegan Holiday Kitchen, more than 200 delicious festive recipes for special occasions. I've really been enjoying reading through this book in the last several weeks and finally had a chance to cook from it very early this morning, the results of which most of us here all devoured today before the show. Thank you. Which we'll get to that soon. But first, about the written and visual content of the book. When you first lay your eyes upon this colorful, hardbound text, you can anticipate that it's going to be filled with content on the inside, just as alluring as the rich colors and textures drawing you in from the front. Never judge a book by its cover, right? Well, in this case, you can discount that well-used adage in favor of common sense and be pleased with what you will find on the inside, which are pages upon pages of beautifully laid out recipes and photographs presented in the context among the varying holidays that make up the chapters of this culinary guide. The book starts with well-considered tips for cooking vegan for the holidays, such as the sensible advice to bring plenty of what you'll be eating to social gatherings, because everyone will want some of what you're having, and also offer ideas such as using cooking shortcuts, like using prepared vegetable broth, all-purpose seasoning blend, and pre-made pie crust to save time during the busy holidays. Nava has been cooking vegetarian for over 20 years, and so she brings her experience to the table, literally, that we can trust and appreciate. Now, the holiday occasions that this book covers are both traditional and also not so much what you might expect to see. Nava gives menu plans for the usual food center holidays, such as Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter, surprisingly presents a thorough and creative rendering of Jewish holiday vegan meals, and also offers up original recipes for summer entertaining and for general brunches, appetizers, and potluck dishes, which can be used for a variety of special occasions. Recipes from this latter category include, for example, roasted squashes and peppers, a rosemary potato and sausage skillet, roasted red pepper and sun-dried tomato guacamole, and plantain fritters with black bean dip. Now, while there is a recipe actually called a big pot of really good chili, that's what it's actually called, and that's about as simple as you can get, Most of the recipes in this book, I have to say, stray far from the regular and usual cooked holiday fare. I read a lot of vegan cookbooks, and there is a lot of competition out there in the world of vegan cookbook authors these days, all vying for your culinary attentions. And I do have to say that Nava contends right up there in providing a creative and diversified selection of recipes that you're not going to find anywhere else. In addition to that, she also so courteously indicates on all the recipes if they are gluten-free, soy-free, and nut-free, and many of them are for those with food sensitivity issues. So let's talk about the food that we just all ate here before the show. I made a big lunch for everyone from Vegan Holiday Kitchen for this holiday season, which consisted of the smoky cheddar cheese with crackers, the hearty lentil and mushroom shepherd's pie, which I turned into a hearty lentil and yellow bean shepherd's pie because I hate mushrooms, the wild rice with corn and cranberries, and for dessert, the skinny figgy bars. So let's reflect. What did you guys think of the smoky cheddar cheese with, I served it with Triscuit sun-dried tomato and basil crackers?
That was really good. Was there vinegar in that?
There was no vinegar.
It was quite piquant. I'm not sure how, but
there were a lot of
really
spices in it. The base of that actually was, and Alyssa asked me this, it's basically cashews, baby carrots, and what was the other ingredient? Oh, milk, almond milk I used. I substituted from rice milk. And you basically just put that in a saucepan, warm it up, and whiz it in the food processor and put nutritional yeast, mesquite seasoning, which I've never used before, and paprika, some other spices. And Nava says in her book that it's addictive. Would you have to agree with that?
Yeah, I actually almost couldn't stop eating it.
Yeah, really? I think that's awesome. You should take some home then, because there's a lot there.
I think it would really impress at a potluck. It looks a lot like hummus. It would probably fool some people. But
it has that smoky.
If it was clearly labeled,
taste.
Yeah, I think it would really, really draw people in and impress people on
tastes
a platter.
Tastes like mesquite barbecue chips.
So good.
So hearty lentil and yellow bean shepherd's pie. That was my first foray into the world of shepherd's pie making. What did you guys think of that?
That was quintessential comfort food, creamy and lovely lentils. And the green beans was a great idea. I mean, I could have sworn that was what rigatoni or something, but
yellow beans.
Yellow beans, yeah.
And thank you. That was
like
my own substitution, but it's supposed to be mushrooms, right?
That was your first shepherd's pie?
That's amazing.
It was yummy.
I followed the recipe.
I could use more spices, I think.
Yeah.
It was kind of
low-key
flavor.
She says on there to season more as needed, but to be fair to the recipe, I actually used more lentils and more beans. So than was supposed to. So I actually compensated or tried to by putting in more spices. But you're right. I think it needs more.
I need sriracha. That's all.
I just need about two heads of garlic in those mashed potatoes. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm big on garlic. And there was garlic in a few of those dishes. I always put like a lot more because I like garlic. Garlic's good for you. Wild rice with corn and cranberries. I have to say that was my favorite dish.
Me too. That was very pretty.
It was
very
awesome.
Healthy.
Nava says in her book that when she first made the recipe that she didn't think it was going to go over like that well, so she didn't make that much for her family, but they just like totally devoured it. And I was thinking, well, it's just rice, right? Like rice with corn and cranberries. I don't know what makes it so good, but it's
I think it's
delicious.
Sort of a kind of really important holiday dish. I think that it goes over so well because it tastes like stuffing, but it's so pretty because of the pumpkin seeds and the dried cranberries. It's just a beautiful, beautiful
dish. Red
and green
for Christmas.
And a fiber powerhouse.
Yeah. Amazing.
Make up for all those shortbread cookies.
Exactly.
And who had the skinny figgy bars? Speaking of making up for shortbread cookies, I made something very healthy there. It tasted really healthy to me, and I think they're called skinny figgy bars for a reason. They're probably very good for you.
That would be nice for breakfast, too, and a snack
food.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem too sweet that it's going, like you're going to have it and then feel like you ate your dessert for breakfast and feel guilty all day because of that. So, yeah. Now, we do have a copy of Vegan Holiday Kitchen to give away to a lucky listener, which we are going to do right now. We announced this contest on last week's show, and for your entry, you had to tell us what one of your favorite plant-based dishes is. So I'm going to do the draw now, and I literally have the names in a cup here. Can I get a drum roll, please? Yeah, okay. So the winner is... And I'm being totally honest here, and we agreed that this person was eligible to enter. The winner is Denise Swanson.
Oh, yay. I thought that I wasn't eligible.
No, we agreed that you were eligible because you're just a guest co-host for today, and you legitimately entered. Your favorite dish is Rose Elliott's mushroom pâté en croûte, which I've had before, and I hate mushrooms, as I've mentioned, but I love this dish, so...
And that's really easy. So you just take any vegetarian pâté and wrap it up and braid it, you know, just cut it and braid it in bread dough or puff pastry. Yeah, it's a
thank
really
you for that little
handy
recipe there.
Holiday thing.
So you're the winner of this book, which is awesome because you said you wanted to borrow it anyways.
I did. So this is a surprise and I'll make good use of it.
And I have it here. I'll give it to you right now. So we are going to move on to this week's events. On Monday, December the 19th, from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m., so that's next coming Monday, there will be more turkey leafleting with Liberation BC. That's happening at the Burrard SkyTrain station on Burrard and Dunsmuir Street. Please come and join the local nonprofit group Liberation BC in their annual holiday turkey leafleting, encouraging people to make compassionate choices at their table this year and every year. Leaflets contain information about the turkey industry, including housing, breeding, transport, and slaughter. The leaflets also hold cruelty-free recipes for an entire holiday meal. You can RSVP to this activism event on Facebook, where Liberation BC has posted an event for it on their Facebook page, or you can just show up. And Denise, you wanted to talk to us about some events that you're holding. You're doing more cooking classes in the new year.
So far I've got two classes on the go for the new year plus a workshop. The two classes are at my place, which is near King Edward in Maine. And they are Monday nights and Wednesday afternoons. And I'm taking wait lists for the Monday nights, and there's still openings for the Wednesday afternoon. And these are five-week courses, and they're based on a book by Colleen Patrick-Goudreau called The 30-Day Vegan Challenge.
We're having her on the show next week, coincidentally. Yeah. So get all your students to listen to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I just got her. This book was just came out half a year ago or less. And as soon as I got it, I thought, wow, that would make such a perfect course because it covers everything pretty much that you could ever need to know about going vegan and how to make it a smooth transition.
Well, I certainly look forward to hearing how that goes, and I want to read that book too. I'm not going to be here next week, but I am going to be present for the interview because we're going to pre-record it. If people want to sign up for your classes, how do they reach you?
Well, they could email me. My email address is DC, like dog cat, DC Swanson, SWANSON, at shaw.ca. And I'm also doing a Valentine's Feast workshop at False Creek Community Center February 10th, which is a Friday night.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that.
You are listening to the Animal Voices radio show here on 102.7 FM, CFRO Vancouver Cooperative Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
So it's time for our annual segment where we give some of our top recommendations for gift giving to animal benefiting charities and nonprofit groups for the holidays. Being embedded in the holiday season, the traditions of gift giving are on our mind. And of course, it's important not to forget the animals at this time. While you may choose to give to the animals through your own acts of individual service, which is great as well, money too, of course, goes a long way. And there are many deserving organizations out there that work for the animals that can all use your monetary gifts of charity to continue to do the good work that they do. So here are our top 9 recommendations for this year in no order of preference, starting with Denise's top 3. Go ahead, Denise.
Okay, well, I'll start with a local organization, although there are many well-deserving local organizations that benefit animals. I've been involved with Earth Save Canada for the last 8 years, ever since I went vegan. And it's been a real lifesaver. It's a wonderful organization to meet other people that are shifting towards a more plant-based diet.
That's where I met you. I remember when you first walked into the Earth Save office.
Yes, so you know more about Earth Save than anybody here, being the office manager for so long, and a wonderful one at that. But this organization welcomes anyone who is currently following any diet at all. It's not an exclusive vegan club or anything like that. There are people of all dietary walks in Earth Save. It does public outreach with info on the environmental effects of our food choices and how eating a plant-based diet can reduce and prevent egregious animal suffering. Allison, you and I put out the first veg directory, right?
We certainly did.
And it's the updated version is being worked on right now, so there'll be a new one out soon.
We actually did it for several years together.
Yeah.
Like four, I think. So
yeah, so that's a really great service.
Or save.ca/veg directory if you want to access it online.
Yeah, and that's the most updated version, right? And then Earth Save puts out the Taste of Health Vegetarian Food and Living Festival every year for the last 13 years. It's a wonderful place to learn about how to live vegetarian and vegan and sample restaurants and foods and get to know different nonprofits. And there are speakers and cooking demos, and that's look for that on the website too. And Earth Save does potlucks and dine out, fabulous dine out, several every month. Go to Vancouver Meatless Meetup for information on that. Earth Save has a Facebook page, Earth Save Canada. Recipes, articles. Earth Save has an email update, which is weekly, which also has a wealth of information and recipes. And it has a members discount program. You get discounts on dozens and dozens of veg-friendly organizations and restaurants and stores. And Earth Save recently moved there at, is it 2nd and Main?
It's near there.
Yeah, Lorne Street, but the mailing address is on Georgia. But the phone number is the same, 731-5885. And the office hours are Tuesday to Friday at present, 12 till 4. So that's one of my favorite of many local organizations.
Okay, and just to let you know, you have 1 minute left.
Okay, so Vegan Outreach is a favorite. They produce wonderful booklets about animal agriculture and why it is good to boycott these. And so leafleting and distributing these booklets. And their Adopt a College program is fabulous, where they specifically target college-aged students who are, you know, more open to change generally than some other age groups. So I really like the Adopt a College. And another organization that I just discovered recently is called awellfedworld.org. And they have a campaign called Feed More International, which is a new gift-giving campaign that feeds people without harming animals. And they explain on their website the damage caused by groups such as Heifer International, where you are actually giving animals to needy peoples instead of foods that are much more efficiently used than funneling through animals.
Mm-hmm. And it makes more sense because they can't afford to feed themselves. How are they going to be able to afford to feed a chicken or a goat or a cow?
Yes, to take care of them properly either.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
Well, thank you for those recommendations. And I just want to mention that all of our charity recommendations are on our website with web links to their websites at animalvoices.org. Tara, let's hear your top three animal charity gift-giving recommendations.
So my first one is PETA, obviously. They do so much all over the world, and they have just a huge wealth of information on their website. They have so many videos, and it's those videos that really converted me. There's just so much information. You get so overwhelmed, and you're just like, I have to do something about this. I have to. So definitely PETA is one of the top ones. My second is Sea Shepherd. Mm. I'm just so happy that there's somebody out there on a boat doing something for the whales, you know, and they just do an amazing job. The fact that they're on TV and they get such good news coverage and they're bringing this to the world and making sure everybody knows about it, it's so awesome. So definitely Sea Shepherd.
I agree, totally. They are a wonderful organization.
Yeah, and they push it. They really push the limits to make sure that they're doing something. So that makes me really happy. And then thirdly, I would suggest local activists, looking for local activists in your area. It doesn't have to be always an organization. It can just be people that are leafleting on their own, or
like Denise, she does a lot of
yes,
that.
Exactly, like Denise.
Donate to Denise.
Give me your brochures.
And then also, I was thinking of Marley. She's on the Sea Shepherd crew right now. She's going to be heading out to save the whales. Tara and Carissa, who are local activists from Vancouver Island as well, have been cove guardians in Taiji, Japan. So definitely local activists in your area that are doing stuff. And also local organizations like Liberation BC are also fabulous to donate to.
Yes.
Yeah, they were one of the first actions that I did. I went out to KFC on Robson Street and did some outreach and tried to convert some people. So yeah, I love
And they have wonderful literature that you can download.
Yes.
So go for it.
Yeah. Like turkey leaflets.
Exactly.
Handing out on Monday.
On the 19th. Yeah, that's a great idea.
And many others as well.
But what I like actually on their Facebook page, actually, they say that you can do this leafleting on your own. All you need to do is print off the leaflets yourself from their website, which are there for free. Mm-hmm. So, again, that's individual activism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what I have. My organizations.
Okay, and finally, for my own top three, I have to say that it is so difficult just to choose a few groups to highlight in this segment on the show, just because there are so many great animal charities out there that are doing such meaningful and diversified work for the animals. And so how do you pick just one from another? For many, our gift-giving dollars are limited, and so you have to choose wisely, or as I do, just give a little bit to every charity out there that you love. But in judiciously filtering the options, I want to first draw attention to a fantastic local activists group who we have featured on the show several times before that has accomplished so much for the animals this year and on a shoestring budget at that. And that is the local Vancouver group Stop UBC Animal Research, which I know some of us are active volunteers for, actually. The reason I choose STOP over other local animal nonprofits this year is not just for the numerous accomplishments that they have achieved over the course of 2010 in raising awareness to the public of the University of British Columbia's cruel and standard research practices with hundreds of thousands of animals on a continuous basis, along with a campaign to stop this, but also because they have many plans for future actions that they want to take that require money to do so. They have a proven track record in such a short amount of time to show that their plans of action can come to fruition to make a significant difference for the animals at UBC, but they need the public support to make them happen. With the money that they'll be raising in the future, they will carry out plans such as taking legal action against UBC to compel the university to disclose information about its animal research, launch a provocative and public ad campaign, have paid staff for the organization, as they are all unpaid at this point, broaden outreach to businesses and faith groups to help build a diverse coalition against animal research, and much more. This is an organization that is making leaps forward and will be able to continue to do so in a greater capacity with any funds that you give. For more information on Stop UBC Animal Research and to donate, please visit www.stopubcanimalresearch.org. The second charity that I want to recommend is one that is also fairly young, is based in the United States, and has a fantastic online presence that allows it to effectively span the globe in terms of its level of public outreach. That charity is Our Hen House, run by the impassioned activists for the animals Jasmine Singer and Marianne Sullivan, both of whom we have featured on the show before. I choose this charity not only because they run on a small budget with a need for more, but also because they are so ardent and effective in the unique and diverse multimedia approach that they take to bring together a community that can work towards the whole movement of doing good for the animals. Our Hen House calls themselves a place to find our way to change the world for animals. And this is exactly what I see them doing with the myriad of approaches they take, from their weekly super informative podcasts, blog posts, self-produced videos, and speaking lectures that they make use of to spread the message for the animals and to spread it far. The women behind our hen house harbor a committed passion for the cause that must be supported, and with your support they plan to grow with their online presence to be able to provide people with the tools and inspiration that they need to change the world of animal exploitation for the better. Our hen house is a registered 501 charity, and to donate and find out more about them, please visit their website at www.ourhenhouse.org. And finally, last but certainly not least, the concluding animal benefiting charity that I want to bring to your attention for gift giving this holiday season is us, Animal Voices Radio at Vancouver Cooperative Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Vancouver Cooperative Radio is a volunteer-run charitable organization whose mandate it is to give a voice to marginalized communities that would otherwise not receive attention in the media. And one of those marginalized communities is the animal rights community. We here at the Animal Voices Radio Show volunteer our time, our commitment, and our passion for the animals to bring to you every week relevant and topical issues affecting the welfare of animals on a local and global basis. Our mandate is to educate the public on these issues of importance for the animals so that you, our listeners, may take away with you information and empowerment that you can use to spread the message of animal respect and compassion and to ultimately end the everyday exploitation of animals. We need to raise funds to specifically keep the Animal Voices radio show on the air. So if you like and appreciate the work that we do here on the show each week, we implore you to give to Vancouver Co-op Radio this holiday season on behalf of the animals. And we and the animals thank you for your generosity. To make a donation, go to www.cooperadio.org. And just a reminder that all of these organizations that we have mentioned on this segment are available to click on their web links, and to remind you what they are, at our website at animalvoices.org. And now it's time for our news.
All right. So two sibling cubs, Marco and Maria, were captured in the Albanian mountains after their mother was killed by hunters. For 2 long years, they languished in tiny cages outside a restaurant in Albania, barely surviving on scraps of bread. A compassionate woman who was determined to rescue the bears from their miserable situation contacted PETA for help. For nearly a year, PETA assisted the tireless animal activist by reaching out to many animal protection organizations. In September, a breakthrough in the case finally came when Liberty Bear Sanctuary, a large reputable bear sanctuary in Europe, agreed to help and arranged for Marco and Maria to be transported to their new home in Romania. The two will now spend the rest of their lives exploring 170 acres of lush forests, climbing trees, drinking from streams and swimming pools with the 56 other bears who will live at Liberty as well. Marco and Maria's lives were changed forever because somebody cared enough to get involved and saw animal cruelty and decided to take action against it. So I think this is, you know, speaks to everybody. You see an animal suffering, you can do something about it always. So don't hesitate to pick up the phone and ask for help from an organization like PETA or a local organization like your SPCA or something like that.
That's a beautiful story.
Yeah, it made me really happy. There's a picture on PETA's website of the two bears in their old cage, and it's just so sad. And to think that there are so many people that go to that restaurant most likely and saw this and didn't do anything, and it just took one person to change the lives of these two bears made me really, really happy. In other news, the former vegan and PETA spokesperson who has been vegetarian for the past decade has now decided, has now added meat back into her diet, Drew Barrymore. Have you guys heard of this?
Oh, she's been a meatitarian for a long time.
Well, she apparently she's been vegetarian or vegan for a while, and she just recently went back to
what's your news source? That's not true.
Yeah, it's
I've heard her say as recently as a couple of years ago, she was saying how she needed meat in her diet, so she's not caring about the animals as much because she needs to care about herself more.
Well, apparently
but what's your news source? I'm curious.
who was it? I think
some person on the street told you this because not reliable.
Eco-Resi.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's not true, but whatever. She was a vegetarian a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. And so she decided to put it back in her diet because her boyfriend is a meat eater. And so she wants to cook for him.
She needs to listen to her show.
Yeah.
We did a show about that.
Yeah, she...
That
she,
doesn't mean her boyfriend doesn't eat other things, too. She can still cook for him.
I know. Well, she said that it was too hard to cook two different meals. And so now she's just eating what he eats kind of thing. So
why doesn't she hire a personal vegan chef like Ellen and Portia do?
Get
it's not Gardein, like she doesn't have the money.
For heaven's sake.
Yes.
That's what I had for dinner last night.
It's so easy. It's so easy. So yeah, I think she should, you know, look for a companion that supports her vegan diet and
I think
can
she should
cook
stop,
for himself.
I think she should stop making excuses because it's just kind of the same lame thing as I heard before. Is she needed to? I needed to start thinking about my own well-being before the animals.
Yeah,
I need to
and
start.
It is
being
good
lazy
for your own well-being. It's better
no kidding
for your well-being. Uh-huh. Makes you healthier and yeah. So that's Drew Barrymore, I guess. Back and forth she is. So a True Blood star is working to vaccinate dogs. Kristen Barr Van Straten is against biting. She's on True Blood star. It's a show that I like to watch. It's about vampires, so I thought it was a little pun on words, I guess. So she's working on vaccinating rabid dogs and keeping canines healthy. The actress has teamed up with the World Society for Protection of Animals to help vaccinate dogs around the globe against rabies. That campaign is called Collars Not Cruelty, vaccinates dogs and then releases them wearing red collars so communities know that the dogs are safe and they don't have to be scared of getting bit by them.
And you said rabid dogs, not rabbit dogs.
Oh,
that's
yes.
not a new breed I don't know about.
Yes, rabid, not rabbit. I think this is a great idea. When I was in Thailand, there was an island that I went to. I can't remember the name of it. And they had dogs that had rabies, and they ended up vaccinating all of them so they don't have to put collars on them. Just all the dogs on the island are safe. They don't have to worry about rabies anymore. So, I think this is a great campaign. Putting red collars. It's so smart. It's really really smart. So that's the news I have for this week.
And it's time for your interview now.
Oh. let's see here. So joining us today on the phone is Twyla Francois, who is the Central Region Director of the Canadian Horse Defense Coalition. Twyla has been very busy the last few weeks putting together undercover footage from a Canadian horse slaughterhouse in Quebec. The footage is shocking as well as eye-opening. It's a small glimpse into the animal cruelty that happens on a regular basis and is hidden away from the public. Thank you so much for joining us today, Twyla.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Would you please tell us and our listeners a little bit more about what the coalition's mission is?
Yeah, the mission of the Canadian Horse Defense Coalition is to work towards a ban on the slaughter of horses in Canada, as well as the live export of horses for the purposes of slaughter.
That's fantastic. So what did you learn? When did you learn about the horse slaughter industry, and how did the coalition come about?
I was in about 2007, and I was doing routine investigations in Quebec. I was with a group called Animals Angels. We focused on the inhumane treatment of all food animals, and basically we would sit on the side of the road and wait for a trailer to go by, and then we'd trail it. So we started trailing what was a cattle trailer. We followed it to a slaughterhouse, and that slaughterhouse turned out to be Richelieu, and it was a horse slaughterhouse, and I actually had no idea that horses were slaughtered, and I watched as these horses were led out with halters, so clearly, you know, someone had loved them at one point in their lives, and that started a 7-visit investigation at Richelieu, and I was actually invited in on 2 occasions. I had a full tour by management while the plant was operating, and I saw just unbelievable abuse of horses. So I went down and met with the CFIA veterinarian, and I told her, you've got to come up to the kill floor. There's really bad things happening. And she wouldn't come. Finally, I sort of forced her to, and she was heckled and harassed and literally blocked from entering the kill floor. And that was my first inkling that the government is not doing the job of protecting animals that we think it is.
And the CFIA is a Canadian Food Inspection Agency. That's a governmental agency, correct?
Right, yeah. It's the federal body that's charged with oversight of humane transport and slaughter.
Wow. So when you speak with people about horse slaughter, do most people know? Like, do you find that it's very hidden, and a lot of people have no idea that horses are slaughtered for food?
Yes, exactly. And ignorance is the greatest threat to horses in Canada, because we know from past polls that the people that have been polled on it, that knew about it, were adamantly against it. So statistically, you know, the vast majority of Canadians are against it. And so this is really the big burden on us, is trying to get Canadians to know that this is even happening. And the fact that they're going for meat for human consumption, too, there's still sort of this misnomer that it's going to pet food, when in fact it's going to countries like France, Belgium, Japan, and it's being treated as a delicacy or somehow a health food, which is really ironic because it's actually quite toxic.
Wow.
It's a predatory industry. The horses are coming from all sorts of different sources, so a lot of them are expats, like the ones I saw being unloaded. Mm-hmm. They're ex-race horses. So the vast majority of them have actually been given a large amount of drugs during their lifetime, and drugs that are banned for use in animals that enter the food chain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's also a lot of health implications with eating the meat as well.
Wow. So you've recently released undercover footage of a horse slaughterhouse in Quebec. Could you tell us more about how this footage was unearthed and what the reaction has been to it and your coalition?
Yeah, we obtained the footage. It was sent to us anonymously, and the footage spans 2 days, and it shows the kill floor of Viande de la Petite Nation, so the second horse slaughterhouse in Quebec. And what's incredible is we've done 3 exposés already of Canada's other 3 horse slaughterhouses, and we really thought things couldn't get worse. But here we are, you know, 4 or 5 years later, the government has been claiming, you know, yes, you did uncover horrible abuse and violations, and we're cracking down on it. But here we are on our 4th investigation, and in fact, we found even worse problems. The failure to stun rate, which means that an animal isn't stunned properly on the first shot, which is required by federal regulations, the rate was 44%, and it actually went up to 60% on the first day. So these are horses who've had a hole punctured through their faces, their ears. They remain standing, shaking their head, whinnying. One horse even whinnied after being shot twice. The shooter responded, "I love you too," and didn't give him another shot, put him through to be butchered. Another horse is actually shot 11 times.
Yeah.
So it's just unbelievable that, you know, that the government continues to allow this to happen, and that there have been no prosecutions in the previous cases either. No charges were ever laid, and yet we opened, we lodged formal complaints with the RCMP, with the provincial police, and with the CFIA, but nothing was done.
Yeah, I would think that most people would be against horse slaughter for food consumption because they view horses as companion animals. I've never met anybody who has ridden a horse or has met a horse and thought this is a food animal. They always think this is, you know, a working animal, maybe at a farm, or a companion animal, that it's a pet.
Yeah.
So who is it that is buying this meat?
Yeah, so the market is mostly France, Belgium, Japan. We're working hard with sister groups there because we think that they're being sold an improper story. They're being told that they're purpose-bred animals, that they never really spend any time with someone loving. They're just out on a field. And so we're hoping that when the people consuming the meat see the footage and recognize what a betrayal it is. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think, one of the things that shocked me the most. Like, I find all slaughterhouses abhorrent, and the killing of all farm animals is completely unnecessary. But what I noticed with the horses was this this betrayal that, you know, the horses, especially at Richelieu, what I noticed, the men were shirtless, covered in blood, you know, carrying whips, sometimes even carrying the tools they were going to kill the animal with, and the horses would still rush up to them seeking affection.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's just really, really wrong.
Yeah, that's heart-wrenching. It really is. So you mentioned France and other countries. I'm thinking about the U.S. now. Does the U.S. have horse slaughter as well?
They had effectively banned it, actually, until about like 3-4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And legislation was just passed that could reopen the door to it starting there. Before what had happened was it was highly fought against by the public, but the USDA, which is the equivalent of the CFIA, they didn't feel that horses were food animals either, and so legislation was passed barring them from inspecting the meat. So basically, if you can't export it, there's nobody in the U.S. or not a big enough market for sure to keep it there. So that effectively shut it down. But now the legislation has changed so that they can use taxpayer money to pay for USDA to inspect the meat. But what we're thinking is that, you know, there was just such uproar and distaste for it in the U.S., and because there's a financial crisis right now, we don't think that the pro-horse slaughter people are going to win out. I don't think the public is going to be happy about, you know, $6 million of taxpayer funds to go towards this. And that's part of it here, too. You know, you and I and the majority of Canadians don't eat horse meat, and yet we're footing the bill for killing them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's also a bill in Canada to ban horse slaughter, Bill C-322. Could you please tell us more about that?
Right. So MP Alex Adamenenko in October introduced Bill C-322, and it calls for an end to the transport of horses for the purposes of slaughter. So again, that would effectively end the industry if horses couldn't be transported for that purpose. So it would bring about an end to this horrible industry.
That's fantastic. And you mentioned earlier, and it's also on your website, about the health risks of horse meat. And could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah. So a lot of the drugs that are being used in horses, so one of the biggest ones, it's banned. If an animal is given just one dose of it, it stays in their bodies for life.
Wow.
And it's phenylbutazone, and it's basically the aspirin of the horse world. Like, when I had horses, I gave it to mine. It's a pain reliever. It's, you know, it's like an anti-inflammatory as well.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. It's given to the vast majority of horses, and yet in humans that eat the meat, it's a known carcinogen, and it's also been linked to aplastic anemia. So, you know, here this meat is being promoted to help with anemia when, in fact, it's probably causing it. And another drug called ivermectin is used as a dewormer. Horses are riddled with worms, and you have to deworm them something like every 6 weeks. And
really?
It acts as a neurotoxin in the people that eat it.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, and then when we get to the racehorsing industry, there's drugs like clenbuterol, which is a performance enhancer, but it's incredibly toxic and it's banned as well. And the amazing thing is, we're shipping all of this meat out, and it's not routinely tested. When we asked the Canadian Food Inspection Agency for what their testing protocol was, we were told, and he was rather proud of this, that they had tested 698 samples in the last 5 years, but there's actually been 385,000 horses killed during that time, so that gives us a testing sample rate of 0.18%. So it's a ticking time bomb.
Yes, yes.
People are getting sick.
That's It's just unbelievable that people are consuming this. On your website, you also mention your concerns for loading and transportation of horses. Could you tell us what the coalition's stance is on horse racing and horse-drawn carriages?
Sure, yeah. Okay, so the problems with transport, I'll cover that first.
Sure.
So the problem is that the horses are being transported in cattle trailers, just like what I had seen back in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And so the trailers aren't tall enough for horses, who are much taller than cattle. So they're banging their head up against the metal outcroppings on the top of the trailers. So they're arriving with eye injuries and open lacerations to their head. And they also have a high center of gravity, so they need to be able to stand stably on all four legs or they're going to go down. And because these journeys are long, the majority of the horses killed in Canada come from the U.S., so they've got really long journeys as well. And they're not separating them, and they're not removing the metal shoes. And in fact, I have footage on YouTube where I'm documenting as a horse trailer is being loaded at an auction, and I've got the camera into the porthole looking in at the horses. And there's a CFIA inspector standing there trying to look like he's doing his due diligence. And I said to him, did you make sure that the metal shoes are removed? Because they can kick each other and stomp each other to death with the shoes on. And he said, of course I did. And I panned down, and you can see that there's still metal shoes on the horses. So we see really high death rates and injury rates whenever horses are loaded together. And the question about horse racing and horse-drawn carriages, so the CHDC is against any horse abuse and neglect, so we oppose any industry that treats animals in that way. And, of course, we've seen that the racing industry contributes a number of horses to horse slaughter. And, in fact, in this latest expose, because we were given copies of all the paperwork that accompanied the horses, we were able to trace back at least six of the horses were race horses, and one of them had raced just 3 months before coming to slaughter. So, these industries are definitely contributing to the problem. And we feel that any industry that is using horses needs to create its own sanctuaries and adoptive programs to at least try not to be contributing to the problem to the extent that it is now.
Mm-hmm. I just want to remind our listeners that you are listening to Animal Voices Radio Show here on 102.7 FM CFRO Vancouver Cooperative Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Personally, seeing the videos on your website reminds me so much of the cow and pig slaughterhouses. Like you mentioned earlier that the first thing that you saw, you thought it was going to be cows and horses came out. Has seeing these videos and the cruelty involved converted you to a plant-based diet?
It has, yeah. I am fully vegan. And I think probably when I started all of this, I was a little bit naive, and I believed that we could make change through animal welfare. I thought, okay, you know, we're not going to get most people to go vegan. Let's work on some improvements that could be made in the short term. But I've had some success in getting these quote-unquote improvements, and I've realized that they have unintended consequences. So, for example, I managed to get the majority of the large pig slaughterhouses to ban electric prod use. Well, they're still being used. The workers are simply hiding them. They're drilling holes in their rattle paddles and sticking their electric prod in there so that it's concealed, or they're just beating the animals with the paddles. And actually, even Temple Grandin has recognized that in these industries, you have to continually be watching these workers, or they'll quickly slip back into cruelty. I've realized that there isn't possibly enough of us to be watching all of the people involved in these industries. And so now I really do feel like we have to remove the market demand. We have to push for veganism. Anything less is simply more of the same, simply allowing this cruelty to continue.
That's fantastic. And
that's very well said.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yes. Thank you so much. If our listeners want to make a difference and help stop the horse slaughter industry, which I'm sure they do, what would you suggest?
So go to our website, defendhorsescanada.org, and there you can print off the legislative petition supporting Bill C-322. We need to do this en masse to make the politicians recognize that it is an issue and that it's not going to go away and they need to deal with it. And then the other thing is, you know, as we talked about at the beginning, the greatest threat to horses in Canada is ignorance. So people that know about this issue, please tell others. So when you see articles in the newspaper, write letters to the editor condemning the practice, saying it's not necessary, it's cruel, and write comments on online articles that you see online.
Thank you so much for your time today, Twyla, and everything you're doing to stop animal cruelty. To learn more about the Canadian Horse Defense Coalition, please visit their website at www.defendhorsescanada.org.
You're listening to the Animal Voices Show, which is broadcasted every Friday at noon on Co-op Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM. Streaming and archives are found on cooperadio.org. Listener-supported non-corporate radio is vital to all social justice movements, giving voice to those who are largely invisible to the mainstream media. Please show your support of this invaluable resource by visiting cooperadio.org or by calling 604-684-8494 to inquire about membership. To learn more about the Animal Voices show, please visit our website, animalvoices.org, or join our group on Facebook, Animal Voices Vancouver. You'll find links and videos about the topics we cover on the show, as well as all of our past shows. Keep in touch with us on Twitter, where we'll let you know about upcoming guests, Animal Voices YVR on Twitter. If you have any feedback or suggestions about the Animal Voices show, we encourage you to email us at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. Next week's show is an exciting one. One of my most favorite humans, Colleen Patrick-Goudreau, will be on the show. Colleen is an animal advocate extraordinaire, a riveting speaker. She lectures around the U.S. and has the number one veg podcast, Vegetarian Food for Thought. She's also the author of a handful of cookbooks, including The Joy of Vegan Baking, The Vegan Table, Color Me Vegan, and two books on compassionate living, Vegan's Daily Companion, and the new book we'll be discussing on the show, The 30-Day Vegan Challenge. We'll end the show today with a holiday song that we've rewritten for the animals. This is our version of Happy Christmas, War is Over by John Lennon. We'll follow that with Rhythm of the Horse.
Actually, I have to interject. The computer's not working, So we're going to play a song called Run, Billy, Run by Dana Lyons. Imagine it's a horse that you're urging to run, and his name is Billy.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and remember to always be kind to the animals.
Fantastic. Do we have vocals? Do we have guitar? All right, we're going to give this a go. So this is Christmas. And what have you done? A change in your diet has only just begun. Just look at your breakfast of bacon and eggs. It nearly had feathers. It used to have legs. Just think about changing the things that you eat. No more dairy products. No poultry or meat. And look at your dinner.
Let's go. For all things that live, a very Merry Christmas.
You're in for a treat. A huge Christmas dinner without any meat.
Peppermint soy nut.
Let's go. You're in for a treat. A huge Christmas dinner without any meat. Let's go vegan for the animals. Let's go vegan now.
Billy was a rugged boy. He asked a million questions and he had a loud voice. He was so curious. He could take up your whole day. His mother took a lot of time with this strong-willed child who's got his own ideas and he speaks his own mind. But when he turns 5, he's gonna have to change his ways. Run, Billy, run, before they can get you. Billy, run, they don't understand you. Billy, run, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just this mixed up world. You tell me that you hate school, 'cause they won't let you play, and that they make rules that you can't help but break. They berate you for slowing.